Ilana Edelstein was born in South Africa, where she lived until her late 20s. After emigrating to the U.S., she worked her way through the ranks of personal assistant, office manager, commercial sales, financial advisor, and ultimately established herself as a respected businesswoman. None of this prepared her for meeting the love of her life, Martin Crowley, co-founder of St. Martin Spirits. It was an instant magical union, shortly followed by the birth of Patron Tequila. Ilana was involved in every aspect of the business, from the brand's iconic bottle to designing the sexy outfits the famous Patron girls wore at industry parties. After their years together ended, Ilana was left destitute. She hit the ground running, though, and built IE Financial Services, providing financial and retirement services to teachers and school employees across Central and Southern California. Her new book, The Patron Way, is the story of how Patron became the world's top-selling ultra-premium tequila. It's a tale set against the backdrop of love, sex, celebrity, dizzying success, and ultimately betrayal. Welcome, Ilana, and thanks for stopping by the book report.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. In 1989, your partner Martin was in Mexico, but he wasn't looking for a tequila. Share the story of how he found the tequila that would become Patron.
Well, he was trying to break the monotony of his day. He was traveling through what happened to be the tequila region, sourcing products for his then company, Architectural Products. And he told his driver to stop at each tequila factory that they passed so that he could taste the tequila just to break up the monotony. And that's when he came across this tequila that tasted like nothing he had ever tasted before and stopped him in his tracks, really, figuratively and literally speaking. And that is what came home and became Patron.
Martin and you worked with John Paul DeJoria, the owner of Paul Mitchell Hair Products. What was his role?
His role was a partner in the Architectural Products company. Then when Martin brought back the tequila and we designed the bottle and we just had fun with it and got the dead fly out of the original bottle, we went to John Paul's for dinner and took it with us. And that's where officially Patron Tequila began, because John Paul said, go back to Mexico, get 10,000 cases. If we can't sell it, worst case, we'll have the best tequila in the world for ourselves and our friends. And that's really officially where the company was launched, at that dinner party.
And you were involved with almost every aspect of bringing the company to be such a huge success.
Yes, I was. Not even consciously, you know, picking a department. We both just did what was necessary, whatever needed to be done, and we had no idea what was supposed to be done. None of us had any idea about the liquor industry, so we just did what we thought needed to be done, and we were creative people and came up with marketing plans that we thought is how they would probably do it, which of course is not how they did it, but we got noticed that way, and really turned conventional wisdom on its head, inadvertently.
You know, I loved your description of your big launch in Las Vegas. And actually, the first Patron girl was a prostitute?
Yes.
Tell us that story.
Well, that was a last resort, please note. We only found out 2 days before that we were invited. Someone had canceled the booth and they had offered it to us. And we just assumed that the liquor industry would be like the auto industry conventions, that there would be girls draped all over the place. So I had customized one of my dresses. We would cut up a Patron T-shirt and went to Vegas to look for some girls to work for the next day. We had an agency, and they took us to all the different the show girls, and they were gorgeous, but the dress was this tight spandex, and it cut right down to your belly, and if you didn't have boobs, it would completely flatten them. Anyway, they looked like little boys in these dresses. And it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and the next day was the show, and we didn't have our girls. So Martin and I were on the same page. We just picked up the yellow pages and called desert foxes and started interviewing prostitutes, and we found our girl, and she was absolutely fabulous. She really was.
In the early days, Patron had a lot of exposure in the movies. Share some of those stories.
We did, and that was really, I would have to call it luck, if there is such a thing. John Paul, that's the circle he moved in, and he never went anywhere without a Patron bottle in his hand. So we did. We got a lot of friends in the celebrity circles that insisted on Patron, be it in their movies, be it in their contracts backstage, like Bruce Springsteen, that was part of his contract, and the late Jerry Garcia. Those were the kind of things that you, people normally, well, those kind of things you can't really buy. You can buy your brand in a movie, but we never paid a dime for that. Everything that we got in those early years was completely out of friendship, really. Clint Eastwood, for instance, in The Line of Fire, Patron Bottle had an up-close shot for probably a minute while he was negotiating a serious scene in the movie where he was negotiating with a terrorist. Patron had its moment that would have usually cost millions of dollars, and we didn't pay a dime. All of that, I don't like calling it luck. I think that's what John Paul brought to the table.
Well, of course, there was a partnership with Seagram's, which went very sour. What advice would you give to, aspiring business people who partner with these mega corporations?
Well, the first obvious thing would be, be adequately represented, because at the end of the day, it comes down to whoever has, the sharpest attorneys, because they cut the deals. Martin was a brilliant negotiator, and still, he ended up in a contract where, we ended up in this horrific lawsuit. In our case, he knew not to, that he needed a bailout clause, and he knew that he had to pin them down to buying minimums. What he didn't know is that they shouldn't have to buy minimums, they should have to sell minimums, which makes a big difference, because in their case, they bought it and just kept it on the shelf for 5 years because they could buy into the company at that point. And the formula would be based on what the bottom line was. So they were holding the bottom. They could afford to hold the bottom line down low so they could buy in at that point. Well, Martin saw this happening at 3 years where the bailout clause was, so he bailed. Those are the kind of examples that I can only say, can you protect yourself against them? No. I think it's all part of a learning curve. You can try and get the best attorneys possible. There's no guarantees, If you're going into a business that you don't know the ins and outs of, you know you're going to run into some of these kind of things. So you have to have some sort of backup, be it a deep pocket, a partner that can get you through it financially. Those are the only, there's no protection. There is no protection against the unknown.
And then, sadly, your 13-year affair with Martin ended very sourly, too, but yet you were able to, pick yourself back up and start on a whole new career path. Talk about that.
Yes, I was. You don't really have a choice, You can either just lay at the bottom of this very dark pit, or you pick yourself up and you have to move forward. And thank goodness I had what I had, my old career where I had kept my license current, so I could go back to work. I am also being approached by other liquor companies wanting me as brand ambassadors and consultants, so I'm busy negotiating on those.
Well, I want to tell readers that at the end of your book, you actually have a business advice segment, which I really enjoyed. I especially liked when you said, know the difference between consistency and clinging to old ways.
Don't let conventional wisdom constrain you. We are our own best customers and our own best brand ambassadors. So, think about how you would react to something, because 10 to 1, that's what the public will do. Don't treat your customers like they are idiots, because they aren't. They know, you know, if you change your consistency of your brand, they will know it.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. The book was fascinating, and you tell it very, very intimately. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
All righty. Bye now.
Bye-bye.